All right,
Love
all right.
Talk Radio.
Get you out of here.
Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
All right, all right. Give honor to God and let me, oh boy, hold on. I'm trying to record.
This conference is being recorded.
Yes, thanking God for another day, another Friday that he's brought us through another week. God, we give you all the praise. We give you the glory. We just exalt your name, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for you being God. God, if it was not for your grace and mercy, where would we be? God, I just give you all the praise and glory. I thank you, God, for each and every listener, participant, downloader. I thank you, God, for each and every targeted individual standing on God's promises, knowing that we serve a God of the impossible, that we know that no giant is too big for God, that no TI program, that no program on this earth could ever have more power than the Most High God. God, we just give you all the praise. We give you the glory. We may not like everything going on in our life, but God, if it wasn't for this test that we have to pass, where would we be? We know the word tells us, God, that what the devil meant for bad, you're using for good. We're better people. We're more knowledgeable. We're more aware. We're more mature. God, we just thank you. If it wasn't for the program, we might be in our grave. So, Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We know that in your time and not our time, things are going to turn around. And we thank you, God, for each and every person that has chosen to use this experience, the skills you've given them, Heavenly Father, to work on the righteous side of the earth. We thank you, God, for all praying people. We thank you, God, for people on this earth, Heavenly Father, exalting your name, Heavenly Father, letting demons know that they will not control this earth, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we give all praises to you, God. We give all exaltations to you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for our ministers out here, just on out here encouraging one another, encouraging people to stand on God's word. Don't let the devil trip up people and just mix them up. We thank you, God, for just the gifts you've given us. We thank you, God, for everything that you've done, everything you're going to do. We thank you, God, for blessing our children, our bloodline. And we decree and declare that they will be men and women of God, Heavenly Father, that Satan will not have charge over their lives, that their lives are in charge by the Most High God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, God, for Bible study, for edification in the Word of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our elders, for keeping them, for covering them, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus that we plead over their lives, that they will continue, Heavenly Father, to praise and worship your name. We thank you, God, for the longevity you've given them. We thank you, God, for shielding them from every demon attack that Satan has on their lives, God. God, we thank you, God, that you've given us the prime opportunity to see that you are all sovereign, all powerful. God, we thank you for bringing our sister Anne out of the hospital, out of the nursing home. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for using her to do what she knew she had to do. Above all, God, we thank you, God, for covering her from that death demon that was trying to come at her. God, we just praise you. We exalt you. We thank you, God, that you've always had her here praying, Heavenly Father. Despite her circumstances, she's always been praying, God, and you've covered her. Because if it wasn't for your grace and mercy, if that demon had so much power, she would not be here. So we praise you. We exalt you for another testimony, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for our sister Amy coming back, being here. We thank you, God, for her prayers, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, God, for all the work she's doing to just have righteousness on this earth, to expose demon forces and to work against demon forces and to live as righteous as she can to exemplify your work in her life. We thank you, God, for our sister Maitrice, Elka, Mark. We ask you, God, to bless all these praying people. Our sister Delisa, Heavenly Father, cover them. Excuse me. Keep them under your wings, Heavenly Father. Cover their bloodlines, Heavenly Father. We decree and declare that our children and our children's children will be covered by the blood of the Most High God. God, we give you praise. We exalt you. We magnify your name. And we thank you, God, for the privilege and the opportunity to become edified and get a better understanding of the book of the Bible. We thank you, God, for the Bible, giving us clarity and understanding that the Bible is a book of law, history, literature, poetry, revelation, prophecy, prophecies, revelation, what is it, literature, history, law, poetry, and letters. God, we thank you for just giving us this better understanding. And as we go through the book of Luke tonight, God, we ask you, God, to just give us a better understanding, God. It's an outline. Let us be able to take this outline and delve deeper, Heavenly Father. This is a study guide and only a study guide. Bless this lesson, Heavenly Father, and let us leave here with information and knowledge we did not have previously. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless all those who want to be here, but because of the timing, cannot be here. Tonight, we're looking at the gospel and the life of Christ. We're looking in particularly at the book of Luke. This is a theology course, so it is an outline that I'm going through. It's more of a lecture. So I'm just going to read the outline, and we'll take it from there. I'll read it again on Sunday. So don't get mad at me for not breaking down or explaining. I'm going through the outline. I'm taking the classes to the Bible Institute that I did by myself. And I am familiarizing myself with the curriculum. So this is a lecture series here. Not a lecture series. It's an outline series. I'll go through the outline, and Sunday we'll probably go into more detail. Okay, we're looking at the book of Luke. This particular section, the Gospels and the Life of Christ, these sections were designed to give us a better understanding of the New Testament. We're looking at the historical background and message of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the life and ministry of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of them talk about the life and ministry of Christ. And we've looked at Matthew, we looked at Mark, and today we're looking at Luke. And we're going to identify some of the themes in each of the four Gospels, but tonight we'll be focusing on Mark. We'll achieve a deeper understanding and appreciation of the life and ministry of Christ as told in each of the Gospels. And each of the Gospels definitely talk about the life of Christ. Some things are repetitious, but it's different perspectives, different people telling it. Okay. All right, so the book of Luke, we're looking at a scriptural outline of Luke. In the beginning of Luke, the introduction, you will see he introduces the Son of God. Jesus is introduced as the Son of Man. That is Luke 1:1. In the beginning of Luke, they talk about the purpose and method of Luke's gospel. They talk about the events preceding Christ's birth, the events accompanying Christ's birth, then the birth of John the Baptist, the birth of Jesus the Christ, the events during Christ's childhood. Jesus returns to Nazareth in Luke 2. Jesus celebrates the Passover. Jesus grows in wisdom. That's Luke 1 and 2. The events preceding Christ's presentation, that's in Luke 3. The events preceding Christ's presentation, Luke 3 talks about the ministry of John the Baptist, the baptism of Christ, the genealogy of Christ through Mary, the temptation of Christ, goes into Luke 4. Then we have the ministry of the Son of Man, that's Luke 4. We have the presentation of Christ, the acceptance throughout Galilee, the rejection at Nazareth, Luke 4. The demonstration of Christ's power, that's in Luke 4:31. Demons are cast out. Peter's mother-in-law is healed. Jesus ministers throughout Galilee. Then we go into Luke 5. We have the first disciples are called. A leper is cleansed. A paralytic is healed. Matthew is called. And for those, even like my sister who was hurt with the being paralyzed, a very difficult subject situation, especially when you've walked all your life and and then you become paralyzed. I tried to tell her you need to go back to these demons taking these diseases from the history. And the Word of God shows us that paralysis is nothing too big for God to heal. So in Luke 5:16, you will see a paralytic is healed. And then we have the explanation of Christ's program in Luke 5. Jesus teaches the Pharisees in Luke 5, and then Jesus teaches the disciples in Luke 6. Then we have here the rejection of the Son of Man, Luke 9. The increasing opposition to Christ, Luke 9. All in Luke 9, we have Samaria rejects Christ. The true cost of discipleship is discussed here. 70 disciples are sent out. The lawyer tests Christ, Luke 10. Mary and Martha are contrasted. Christ teaches on prayer, Luke 11. Christ is rejected by the religious leaders, Luke 11. Religious leaders are rejected by Christ, Luke 11. The instruction in view of Christ's rejection, that is Luke 12. Christ warns about hypocrisy. Christ warns about covetousness. Christ warns about the second coming. Christ warns of the cost of discipleship. Christ warns not discerning the times. Christ teaches on repentance, Luke 13. Christ heals a crippled woman, Luke 13. Christ teaches on the kingdom of heaven, Luke 13:18. Christ mourns over Jerusalem, Luke 13:31. When we go into Luke 14, Christ teaches the Pharisees. He teaches the disciples in Luke 14. He teaches on repentance in Luke 15. He teaches on stewardship in Luke 16. And then he cleansed 10 lepers in Luke 17. Christ teaches on the second coming in Luke 17. Christ teaches on prayer, Luke 18:1. Christ blesses the children, 18:15. Luke 18:18, Christ teaches on sacrifice. Christ foretells his death and resurrection in Luke 18:31. Christ heals Bartimaeus in Luke 18. Christ abides with Zacchaeus in Luke 19. Christ gives the parable of the 10 minas in Luke 19. We have part 4, the crucifixion and resurrection of the Son of Man. Luke 19:28. The last week of Christ was Luke 19:28. Sunday, the triumphant entry. Luke 19, Monday, cleansing the temple. Tuesday, public ministry. Thursday, Passover and arrest. Friday, trials and crucifixion, that's Luke 22. Saturday, he was in the grave, Luke 23. The authentication of Christ is discussed in Luke 24. The resurrection is discussed in Luke 24. Christ appears on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24. Christ appears to the 11, Luke 24. This is an outline of the book of Luke, so we just looking at some of those are the major events. Christ of Luke. The humanity and compassion of Jesus are repeatedly stressed in Luke's gospel. Luke gives the most complete account of Christ's ancestry, birth, and development. He is the ideal Son of Man who identified with the sorrow and plight of sinful men in order to carry out sorrows and offer us the priceless gift of salvation. Jesus alone fulfills the Greek ideal of human perfection. The keys to Luke, what are some of the keys? Keywords, Jesus, the Son of Man. Luke clearly states his purpose in the prologue, of his gospel, to write to you an orderly account that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed, Luke 1:3-4. Luke wanted to create an accurate, chronological, and comprehensive account of the unique life of Jesus Christ to strengthen the faith of Gentile believers and stimulate saving faith among non-believers. Luke also had another purpose, and that was to show that Christ was not only divine but also human. Luke portrays Christ in his fullest humanity, by devoting more of his writing to Christ's feelings and humanity than any other gospel. Our key verses, Luke 1:3-4 and Luke 15, captured in three parables of the lost sheep, lost Cain, and lost son, is the crux of this gospel. That God through Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. A brief survey of Luke shows that Luke builds the gospel narrative on the platform of historical reliability. His emphasis on chronological and historical accuracy makes this the most comprehensive of the four gospels. This is also the longest and most literary gospel, and it presents Jesus Christ as the perfect man who came to seek and to save sinful men. This book can be divided into four sections. The introduction of the Son of Man, the ministry of the Son of Man, the rejection of the Son of Man, and then the crucifixion and resurrection of the Son of Man. And that would be Luke 1-4 talks about the introduction of the Son of Man. And then Luke 4-9 talks about the ministry of the Son of Man. Then the rejection of Christ is discussed in Luke 9-19. And then the crucifixion is discussed in Luke 19-24. In the introduction of the Son of Man, which would be chapters 1-4, Luke places a strong emphasis on the ancestry, the birth, and early years of the perfect man and of his forerunner, John the Baptist. Their infancy stories are intertwined as Luke recalls their birth, announcements, advents, and temple presentations. Jesus prepares over 30 years, summarized in one verse, Luke 2:52, for he prepares for a public ministry of only 3 years. The ancestry of the Son of Man is traced back to the first man, Adam, and his ministry commences after his baptism and temptation. The ministry of the Son of Man is in Luke 4-9. The authority of the Son of Man over every realm is demonstrated in Mark 4-6. In this section, his authority over demons, disease, nature, the effect of sin, tradition, and all people is presented as a prelude to his diverse ministry of preaching, healing, and discipling. Luke 7-9. The rejection of the Son of Man is discussed in Luke 9-19. The dual response of growing belief and growing rejection has already been introduced in the gospel. But from this time forward, the intensity of opposition to the ministry of Christ increases. When the religious leaders accuse him of being demonized, Jesus pronounces a series of divine woes upon them, knowing that he is on his last journey to Jerusalem. Jesus instructs his disciples on a number of practical matters, including prayer, covetousness, faithfulness, repentance, humility, discipleship, evangelism, money, forgiveness, service, thankfulness, the second advent, and salvation. That's Luke 12 through chapter 19. Then we have the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Son of Man in Luke 19 through 24. After his triumph entry into Jerusalem, Jesus encounters the opposition of the priests, the Sadducees, and scribes, and predicts the overthrow of Jerusalem. That's in Luke 19-21. The Son of Man instructs his disciples for the last time before his betrayal in Gethsemane. The three religious and three civil trials culminate in his crucifixion. The glory and foundation of the Christian message is the historical resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord conquers the grave as he has promised and appears on a number of occasions to his disciples before his ascension to the Father. Excuse me. Luke, the Son of God, the Son of Man among men. The Gospel of Luke is the longest book of the New Testament and of the four Gospels. It gives the most comprehensive picture of the life and ministry of Christ. After one has completed a study of Matthew and Mark, The pages of Luke's gospel are a warm and vibrant invitation to walk over new paths. Luke and John are the two gospel writers who state in the biblical text something of their purpose in writing. Luke, writing to his friend Theophilus, puts it this way: "It seems fitting for me as well to write it out for you in consecutive order, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." So as Luke was inspired to write his account, the content he had in mind was the exact truth, and the form he had in mind was consecutive order. He was not implying that the accounts of the gospel story written by other authors were inadequate or deficient, but rather that he also was led to write an account of the kind identified by his words of purpose. Thus, his reporting, inspired by the Holy Spirit, became part of the 27-book New Testament canon. All survey and analytical studies of the Bible text involves what the Bible says, content, and how it says it. Our survey of this third gospel will focus, therefore, on both of the following, which Luke had in mind as he wrote: the content of the exact truth in the form of consecutive orderliness. Background: the gospel was inspired and written according to divine design and schedule, eventually to be listed as the 42nd book of the 66-book library in the Bible. The man Luke, birth and early life. Luke was born of Greek parents, a heritage that made him probably the only Gentile writer of the New Testament. He was born at about the same time as Jesus and Paul. Two possible birthplaces are Antioch of Syria and Philippi of Macedonia. His parents gave him the name Lucas, a shortened form of the Roman name Lucanus. He studied for the medical profession, and this advanced education might have been received at either Athens or Tarsus. From the content and style of his books, we may speculate that history and literature were two of his favorite subjects. Conversion. You all right? I'm taping. I'm doing a Bible study. I'm taping. Okay. Conversion. Luke was not a disciple of Jesus during Jesus' early ministry. While living in Antioch, he may have been converted under the ministry of Paul, such as referred in Acts 11:25. His profession and ministry: Luke was a man of various talents and calling. Physician, Luke, the beloved physician. He studied medicine at the university in Tarsus, and he and Paul may have first met at that university because it is possible that Paul studied there, his hometown school. He was a historian. His interest in history is shown by the many historical datelines cited in the gospel. In Luke 1:5 and Luke 56, Luke 2, Luke 21, Luke 37 shows his great interest in history. So he was a historian, a physician. Luke was also a writer. Luke's gospel is considered by many to be a literary masterpiece. It reveals a high-trained composer who had a very large vocabulary, vivid style, historical outlook, and gift of communication. The combination of Luke's gospel and Acts makes Luke the writer of more content of the New Testament than any other author except Paul. He was an evangelist and pastor. He was Paul's co-laborer on the apostle missionary journeys, remaining with him until Paul's death. Apparently, Luke never married. Oh, I didn't know that. Luke never married. Okay.
I'll talk on the other one. Oh, and did I lose him? Yeah. Yeah, someone in had dropped. I'm just trying to put it back in the call. Okay.
All right, now. Oh, okay. All right, I don't know. No wonder my phone was clicking. It was like, this is called a few times. Oh, there she goes. Okay. Sorry about that. You got dropped?
Yes. I'm restraining my battery on my phone. But go ahead. I'll try to stay on.
Okay. I heard some clicking. I didn't know what it was. And then when I looked, I said, oh, I should have checked. Okay. All right. We're looking at the life of Luke. And we find that he was a minister, he was a historian, he was a writer, and he was an evangelist and a pastor. He was not married. Luke's character, let's take a look. Luke's writings serve as character prints, but he included and emphasized in his gospel and Acts reveals much about what kind of man he was. We see him as kind, humble, joyful, bright, and gentle. He had a keen sense of the might, justice, and holiness of God. He was surely a man of prayer because he reported praise and intercession often in his writings. For example, read the songs recorded at Luke 1:46 and Luke 1:67, 2:13 regarding Zacharias, the angel, Simeon. Also, Luke's gospel refers to the prayers of Jesus more than do Matthew and Mark, and it contains three parables on prayer not found in the other gospels. Luke was also a man of love and sympathy for the underprivileged and those of humble estate, for women, children, and the poor, and for the outcasts, such as the Samaritans. He was truly a saint who identified himself with needy humankind. Thus, he was the very appropriate divine choice as the writer of the gospel of the Son of Man among men. Yes. Somebody, you want to put your star 6, please? Because it's coming in. Star 6, please. Death. One tradition says Luke died as a martyr in Greece, according to the Anti-Mercianite prologue to Luke, written around AD 170. At the age of 84, he fell asleep in Boata and full of the Holy Spirit. At least he died that way on his own, you know. Authorship. The author of this gospel. The author of this third gospel is nowhere named in the book, but tradition and internal evidence strongly support Luke in order authorship. Concerning tradition, the man of God observes, at no time were doubts raised regarding this attribution to Luke, and certainly no alternatives were mooted. The tradition could hardly be stronger. The same author wrote both Luke and Acts. Compare Luke 1, 1-4, and Acts 1:1. The internal evidence of Acts points to Luke as its author, and this evidence concerns what's the accepted Lucan authorship of the third gospel. Place and date of the writing. The place of writing is unknown. It could have been Caesarea or Rome. Luke wrote his gospel around A.D. 60, not much earlier than writing Acts A.D. 61. Read Acts 1:1 for Dr. Luke's reference to his gospel as the first account. Sources of information. Luke had access to other early written records of life and ministry of Jesus, Luke 1:1. He also interviewed many people who had been eyewitnesses of the events of Jesus' life. While Paul was in prison at Caesarea before his voyage to Rome, Luke had ample opportunity for such interviewing in the season. All right, now. He had interviewed in the cities of Palestine. Paul himself, though not an eyewitness, must have had some influence on Luke's production of this gospel, even as Peter influenced Mark. Direct disclosure of some parts of the gospel came by the Holy Spirit. The entire gospel was divinely inspired or God-breathed.
the original readers. Luke wrote this gospel especially for his friend Theophilus, his lover or loved of God. Theophilus may have been an influential Christian layman of Greece, possibly even a convert of Luke. When Luke's gospel began to circulate, no, it wasn't lover, it said lover of God. All right. When Luke's gospel began to circulate throughout the Roman Empire in the first century, the readers particularly attracted to it were people of Greek culture, the culture that glorified wisdom, beauty, and the ideal man. The excellent literary style of this third gospel must have afforded a special attraction to such readers. Luke had all mankind in mind when he wrote his gospel, which is one reason the title of Jesus, Son of Man, appears throughout the book. Also, he traces Jesus' genealogy back to Adam, not just to Abraham. The genealogies of Christ is discussed in the book of Luke. Luke gives the real descent of Jesus, which could only be through Mary, Jesus being physically conceived of the Holy Ghost, not of Joseph. This is Mary's genealogy. Matthew's list gives the legal descent of Jesus, which could only be through the male Joseph. This is Joseph's genealogy. And he gives a chart, let's see, purpose and theme of Luke. As noted earlier, Luke states his purpose in Luke 1, verses 1 to 4. His purpose of writing the book of Luke was to write a consecutive chronological account of the full and exact truth of Jesus' ministry. Also, he wrote the book of Luke because there are four Gospels instead of one. We may conclude that the Gospel of Luke is intended to complement the other three Gospels by telling the story of Jesus from a different angle and for a different viewer. When the four Gospels are compared, there are differences of the following kind as seen in the below chart. And this is what we have. In other words, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of those books talk about the life and history of Jesus Christ. There are a few differences. Let's see. In Matthew, they talk about Jesus as King of Israel. In Mark, Jesus is the servant of the Lord. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. And when we get to John, John is going to talk about Jesus as the Son of God. Okay, Matthew was designed for the reader, which is Jewish. The reader was expected to be Roman. The reader for Luke, Greek. And John wrote it for the world. And the prominent ideas in Matthew focused on law. Mark focused on the power of Jesus. Luke focused on the grace of Jesus. And John focused on the glory. The theme of Luke concerns Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deeds and words in the sight of God and all the people. Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man among men, the perfect God-man, who alone offers to all nations the salvation of God. He emphasizes the universality of salvation, and the word faith appears often in his gospel. His prominent subjects, the subjects that are identified below, because of his prominence in Luke, reveal something of the gospel's theme, the perfect humanity of Christ. Luke presents Jesus as Son of God, but he shows him especially as Son of Man. This gospel is the fullest account of the birth, childhood, domestic, and social life of Jesus. It underscores his human feelings. Many of his social contacts are reported, for example, with Simon, with Martha and Mary, with the Pharisees, with Zacchaeus. Prayers of Jesus are prominent throughout the book, which fact again emphasizes his humanity. In the four Gospels, 15 occasions of Christ praying are reported, 11 of which are found in Luke. Much teaching about prayer also is given in this gospel, in the third gospel. The genealogy of Jesus, as recorded by Luke, also identifies Jesus intimately with the human race by tracing the descendants to Adam. Praise and thanksgiving. Recall from earlier observation of praise at the beginning and the end of his gospel. In the following passages found in Luke, which are the source of great hymns of the church. Ave Maria, Luke 1:28, Magnificat, Luke 1:46, Benedictus, Luke 1:68, Gloris in Excelsis, Luke 2:14, and Nunc Dimittis, Luke 2:29. Note the reference to men glorifying God in these passages in Luke 2:20, 5:25, 7:16, 13:30. Refer also to an exhaustive concordance and observe how often the word blessed appears throughout this gospel. So the word blessed is in Luke a lot more than other ones, other chapters. Historical perspective. The factual basis of the gospel is underscored by the inclusion of many references to dates and secular rulers. Also, the organization of the book has a historical perspective. For example, Luke begins his gospel, as one might expect a historian to do, describing background and preliminary events first. He leads up to the great event, the coming of Jesus. This is direct reference to Jesus is not made until verse 31 of chapter 1. For the first 30 verses, Luke is setting the stage and then bursting forth in all the glory appears the beautiful words, "You will bear a son and you shall name him Jesus." The related ministries of John the Baptist and Jesus are discussed in Luke. This section, Luke 1, is called preparation. Two preparations are meant by this: the preparation of the people through the ministry of John the Baptist and the preparation of Jesus for his public ministry. And this is how Luke intertwines the two preparations to his account. Preparation of the people and preparation of Jesus, that's in Luke 1, 5 through 25. Announcement of John's coming, the birth of John, infant John presented in the temple, and maturing years of John. Then he goes into the preparation of Jesus. In Luke 1:26, there's an announcement of Jesus is coming. Then he goes into the birth of Jesus. The infant Jesus is presented in the temple in Luke 2. And then maturing years of Jesus is discussed in Luke 2:40-52. Then he goes into John preaching in the wilderness, Luke 3, 1-20, and then he goes into the baptism of Jesus, Luke 3, 21-38. And then he goes into the temptations of Jesus in Luke 4, 1-13. One of Luke's reasons for interweaving the stories of John and Jesus is to magnify Jesus. For example, in the first two chapters of Luke, we read how John came on the scene first, followed by Jesus. People rejoiced when John was born as well as when Jesus was born. However, everything about the narrative spotlights Jesus as the main person, the source of all blessings. Further, in their public ministries, John comes on the scene first, followed by Jesus here. Here, John can speak for himself, and what he has to say focuses all attention to the one whom he precedes, because he speaks this way of Christ. "He who is mightier than I is coming, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals," Luke 3:16. The Christmas stories in Luke 2, 1-20, this particular reporting of Jesus' birth appears only in Luke's gospel. The beauty of the narrative is unsurpassed in all of literature. Identification by miracles, Luke 4-9. One way Jesus identified himself was by miracles. The miracles demonstrated his power and in particular his deity. 20 miracles are reported in the Gospel of Luke. In this Gospel, 6 of which are not in the other Gospels. So Luke went to talking about the miracles. Then in Luke, we have the instruction. Jesus gives instruction by parables. In the four gospel accounts, 35 parables are recorded, 19 of which are unique to Luke's account. Jesus' favorite method of teaching was by parables. Luke records a group of six parables in Luke 15:1-17. He did kingdom teaching. Jesus did kingdom teaching. Luke talks about his kingdom teaching in Luke 17 to Luke 29. One of the important subjects of Jesus' teaching was that of the kingdom. Jesus knew as the prophets had taught that in the end times, he would be sitting on the David throne. That was the kingdom especially oriented to Israel according to covenant promises. But Jesus had in mind now a larger kingdom, as large and universal as the gospel itself, existing right now. The kingdom of God is within you, Luke 17:21. In Luke 22, we have the sacrifice, the great sacrifice. In Luke 22, he begins this account of the darkest episode of Jesus' life. He tells of the satanic plot to betray Jesus, Luke 22:1-6. In the sad last hours of Jesus with his disciples, Luke 22:7-46, the cruel scorn hurled against him by the religious rulers and the mobs that they incited, Luke 22:47, the agony of scourging and crucifixion is in Luke 23. Then we have the grand miracle, Luke 24, the tone of praise and blessing that pervades. The first chapter of Luke reappears now at the last chapter. From the chamber of the empty tomb, the triumphant message echoes forth in matchless glory. He is not here, but he has risen. When Luke wrote his narrative, about 30 years had transpired since Jesus' resurrection, but the glory of the event had not subsided. Read the last four verses of Luke's gospel, and you will be convinced that intense joy must have filled his heart as he laid down his pen in completion of his writing task. Could any book close on a more triumphant note? Other prominent subjects of Luke: the work of Christ in redemption, references to grace and glad tidings throughout the book. Christ is the gracious savior of mankind, Luke 19:10. Luke talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to more in Luke than in Matthew and Mark combined. Read Luke 1:15, 35, 41, 67, Luke 2:25-26 to read about the Holy Spirit. Christ's ministry to Gentiles is discussed in Luke. The needs of the humble estate, women, children, and outcasts appear often in Luke's story. For example, women are mentioned in all but five of the chapters. Various identifications of Jesus. Near each main injunction of Luke's gospel shown below, there's recorded an identification of Jesus. Then we have the one of the important subjects. Okay. All right, we have the various identifications of Jesus. Never each main junction of Luke's gospel shown below. There is recorded an identification of Jesus. What is that beeping? Maybe it's my camera on in my house. Okay. Oh, wait. Yeah? Okay, let me finish up here. All right, so other prominent subjects in Luke, he talks about the ministry to Gentiles, the needs of the humble estate, for the needs of women, children, and outcasts. He talks about the Emmaus story, Luke chapter 4. Two disciples were on the road to Emmaus when Jesus, though not recognized, walked with them and talked with them as they traveled. It was only in the breaking of the bread at supper time that they recognized him. Then Luke talks about medical overtones. There are medical terms and descriptions with medical interests which support a